This is the West Coast Project podcast for True Detective. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Hey, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but I'm going to plunge right into it and see what happens.
Okay.
True Detective was an awesome show last year.
Yep.
I don't know why I put down season three, season two. It is season two, and I don't know, Michelle, I didn't get a good feeling, good vibe from this first episode.
How many times did you watch it?
Once and then kind of spotty, back and forth through a couple times. But you know, I'm in a bad podcast mood this week. So we did Orange Is the New Black. I didn't like that. We're trying to do some other stuff with a show that you've watched part of, that I've watched a lot of, that I really like, Halt and Catch Fire. And we didn't really quite finish that. So I don't know if it's that or being in a different room for recording and it sounds crappy. Sirens going by.
No, I don't think so. I agree with you on True Detective. Although I will say I watched it, ended up watching it three times, and I liked it more every time I watched it. I think I'm just not used to it, and it feels like a lot of work this time to do this for some reason. And yeah, there's things about it that I definitely don't like.
It's way too complicated from the start. And last year it was simpler and it was easy. There was more mysterious. We didn't know what was going on, but we had, what, three or four people we had to remember. Now we got freaking 10 people we got to remember. But anyway, let's give it a shot.
Okay.
So Deputy Velcro, I know his name's not Velcro, but Velcoro, Colin Farrell, is probably the main character, even more main than Vince Vaughn. He had worked for the LA Sheriff's Office for 8 years, and now he works for this little town of Vinci, an LA suburb called Vinci, of which there is no real place, but, he's got a little redheaded kid and he wants custody of that kid. And, he's just a dude full of hate. Everything he sees, he hates. He looks like he might fool people, like, I'm not a bad guy, but he's like a steaming cauldron of hate is all I got from this guy.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot of rage issues. And I don't know if that was something that was brought about by what we find out happens in his past or if that's just his personality. But he's really hard to like. He's easy to pity. But I'm finding that with a lot of the characters. So
let's just say, Michelle, that we'll give this another episode to try it, just to see if we get into it more.
Okay.
You got into Orange a little bit more as you watch more of them. Maybe this will become better as we see more of it.
Right.
Right now, I'm gonna power through this one fast, though. So this is maybe not our typical podcast. I didn't like it, and it just seems like it's not even worth the hour it might take to thoroughly go through it.
Well, it's kind of depressing, don't you think?
It's totally,
I thought,
depressing.
From the very beginning, literally from the opening song, it felt like they were trying too hard. They took what was so intriguing in season one and they tried to do it over. And it just somehow reminded me of like the sadness of like trying to recreate a date with somebody that you had a good date with, maybe with somebody else, and because it was perfect with somebody else, but then you get it with this person and it's just sad. And it just
also, the whole atmosphere of season one in the Louisiana bayou and the swampy poor people and the deaths and murders and mass religious Carcosa, all that dark noir stuff was like really effective. So Nick Pizzolatto now is like throwing noir after noir after noir into this, at least this first episode. It's way too dark. It's way too dark. There's no humor. There's no smart acidness of McConaughey and Harrelson to chirp it up. It's just too dark and too trying too hard.
I agree.
So anyway, so there's a flashback between Colin Farrell, who's Velcoro, Deputy Velcoro, and Vince Vaughn. And Vince Vaughn is a degenerate casino operator. So he's like some mob connected guy who now runs a casino. Or is in a casino a lot. That casino is just like a big casino in LA. I forget the name of it, but it looks just like it. There's a big casino that people can go to play poker and stuff in LA.
Okay.
And Vince knows about Colin's wife getting beaten. I don't know what I should call these people. What's Vince's name? Do you know Vince's name in this?
Ray
something. It was Ray Velcro.
Yeah, we've got Ray, and then we've got, who's the other one? Ray is Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn is Frank. So Ray and Frank.
All right. I'm going to call them Colin and Vince.
That's fine. That's actually how I have it written down for most of it because I couldn't keep it straight. But yeah.
So Vince knows about Colin's wife getting beaten up, and he has intel on the guy who did it, and he uses...
This is a long time ago. This is a... Well, you just said that, though. This was a flashback, yeah.
Yeah, he uses it to buy into Colin, to get close to Colin. And he says he doesn't want anything for it, but we know that can't be true. He's like a mob... He's like an angler. He's trying to angle for something. Vince. Frankie Vince. and he has some mountain retreat that he has. Vince does. It's some place in the mountains that he hangs out with some dangerous-looking redheaded girl.
No, I think that's back in real time. Yeah. That's now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm in real time. I told you I was going fast, Michelle.
Okay, sorry.
So hang on. So they're back at the Vinci suburb where the casino is, and they were looking for this guy named Osip, or waiting for this guy named Osip. He's some Russian guy who's coming into town from Russia or somewhere from afar. And I don't know why yet, but... I don't know if we know why yet.
I don't think so.
And Vince says, don't do things out of hunger, even eat.
That was a little bit later on, but yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool line. That's a Nick Pizzolatto. The only one left from the first season is Nick Pizzolatto. Everybody else is gone. The Corey Fukunaga, the director is gone. The actors are gone. But you see their names on the producer titles in the credits, but I think that was only that they did that in case this whole thing went south from the beginning, they would have control over it. So Harrelson and McConaughey wouldn't have their name attached to some dog of a show.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah, because they have nothing to do with it, and it's all Pizzolatto.
Well, it was funny because that line, never do anything out of hunger, not even eat, I actually put down that was the best line of the whole episode by far. But see, we saw a lot of that in season one, a lot of those little gems of things, and that was it for this one for me.
Yeah, like Harrelson saying to Pizzolatto as the bartender, why do you make me say this out loud? You know, of course, Pizzolatto's writing the script that Harrelson has to say, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But Vince says that, right? Don't do things out of hunger, even eat. He's kind of a slick, tough guy. Like, he knows that's a pretty profound thing to think about. Like, don't do anything that you need. Don't let the other person know that you need it, even eating. You know, just don't show need. Don't show that you're
hungry for some
advantage. Right. Yeah, hungry. And then so they find out there's a paper. The newspaper is running a story on corruption in this town of Vinci, and this guy Osip won't like it. So they're going to go after the reporter.
Right.
So this reporter guy is, I guess we'll find out more about him later. So there's a city manager named Caspare, and he's got some Maltese Falcon type deal in his car. Did you ever figure that out? That little Maltese Falcon bird head?
No, I have no idea what that was doing in the car. I just have the dead bird. It looked like a dead bird beside him.
It was some sort of a mask or like a Mardi Gras type thing, I think, though.
I couldn't tell. I watched it a few times, and I couldn't tell.
I think it was too big to be a real bird.
I don't know.
Anyway. So we see millions of drone shots, of overhead shots of the L.A. freeway system, which somebody fell in love with here. This director must really like that angle.
Well, the freeway system, and they showed a lot of industrial stuff, and we get it. We get that you're in an industrial area, but they showed it again, and they showed it in the morning, in the afternoon. They showed it at night. It was I wrote down the same thing about it, Mike. The it was just way overkill with it. It was different on the Louisiana Bayou stuff as they're going over that stuff, and they're showing us this different areas of stuff. But this, to me, just felt contrived.
They use the same credits technique, too, like the overexposed picture over picture, like the face with the background of another scene.
Uh-huh.
So, exactly. Next scene, Steve. I don't know who even know who Steve was, but is Steve with the girl, the lead girl cop?
Rachel McAdams?
Yeah, is that Steve's girl? They're at her place, and it's the Hagaguri Way of the Samurai book. And
yeah.
Is that Rachel Adams?
That's Rachel McAdams, yeah. I don't know who he was, but yeah, that...
Yeah, I don't think it even matters. Just showing that she's tough, she's cool, and she's got this, you know, ninja way of thinking, and...
Yeah, and she's definitely like the aggressor or the leader in this relationship, too, because he's apologizing, didn't know what she wanted, and we don't even really know what they're talking about. I don't know if it's important, but...
Yeah, he wants to talk, and she just wants to shut it down. So
yeah, she's blowing him off. Tell him to leave.
Then we jump to some scene of a raid at some vineyard house, some remote house, where there's video porn going on. And that's also Rachel McAdams' scene. And mm-hmm. It's her sister is involved in some video porn thing.
Or yeah, internet.
Internet porn.
Right.
Her sister's wearing this quirky green hair and all kinds of piercings and stuff.
Right.
But it's a false alarm because they really can't make anything stick.
What were they even trying to find there? Do we know?
I don't know. I think...
I didn't understand that either. It was just like a way to throw the sister in there.
It's hard to tell which sister has bigger problems. Rachel McAdams as the tough cop or this porn video's sister. I don't know. I made that comment to myself that which one is more twisted.
Well, the porn video sister actually pointed that out to Rachel McAdams as well, that maybe she's the one with the problems or something, so.
So Colin Farrell meets with the cops, and this reporter is writing a story about cops doing bad stuff, and then it turns out this Kasperi guy that we talked about before with the Maltese Falcon head is missing. He's the right. City manager of Vinci. So that presents itself. Next, we see more overhead shots. On the Pacific Coast Highway near Malibu, it's the CHPs driving around. And this guy, Woodrue, pulls over a girl who comes spinning out onto the freeway like an idiot. And she's wearing an ankle bracelet, so she shouldn't probably even be away from home. And she's driving crazily, and she gets pulled over. And she tricks him somehow. This whole interaction was like, looks like, please let me off the hook, I'll do anything. But she tricks him into... offering sex to get out of the ticket that she then flips on him.
Well, that's... Well, what I thought happened was she offered him sex or sexual favors to get out of, not a ticket, but being turned in. She don't want to get in trouble. She's evidently doing something she's not supposed to be doing. And then she is an actress and she's connected in some way. And so they flipped it around to make it look like he had offered her... If she would have sex with him, that he wouldn't take her in.
Yeah,
and they believed her. Well, I don't know if she did, but somebody did on her side.
She did that whole thing to be able to flip it, though.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
But how can you do that? I mean,
because she had no option. She was going to take her in, and she didn't. She was out away from her home confinement.
But Mike, why would somebody believe her with an ankle bracelet on over? The police officer.
Because it's that didn't not make any an unlikely sense. Thing to happen. I think it's likely that might happen.
I think that you would believe the upstanding citizen, particularly his own department. I would
All
think
right,
that...
Michelle, well, this might be one of the early cracks into why this doesn't work, this show didn't work so well for me. Or for you.
Okay.
But she gets him in trouble. And he's on an investigative alert or whatever, that internal affairs notice until he gets it cleared up.
He's on a paid administrative leave, they said.
Can't
but he just
ride his bike.
Right.
And that's what he loves to do, is be a motorcycle cop.
Right.
And then he says something to do with Black Mountain. What was Black Mountain? Did you ever catch? Is that where
I don't know.
Is that where the video operation was?
I don't think so. I don't know what that was all about. I think that might be something we find out later on or something, because I didn't get it either.
All right, more drone shots, more overhead shots, and then there's a party.
Sepia looks and 70s music and, yeah.
There's a party about this rail corridor deal that Vince Vaughn is pulling, and he's with the redhead.
I'm pretty sure that's his wife.
Well, she could be a redhead.
Yeah.
and there's a super drunk-looking loser mayor with a sloppy tie, and he just looks like he's a mess.
Was that the mayor?
Yeah, that's the mayor.
Oh, okay. And he's, like, got his hand on his wife, we assume's butt in the picture. Oh, okay.
So Vince hears that Kasperi, the city manager, hasn't been at work in 2 days, and he gets worried about it. And so Colin starts looking for this Kesperi guy and goes to Monterey and Russian River Valley. Or Colin Farrell learns that Kesperi has places in Monterey and Russian River Valley, which means he's probably siphoning money from his city manager job to buy these nice places.
Okay, I didn't put two and two together with that, but
yeah, well, Monterey is about an hour and a half south of San Francisco. Russian River Valley is about an hour and a half north of San Francisco, and they're in L.A. So he's got these vacation places that he shouldn't be able to afford, I think. And so they get a list of all these properties from some pretty girl who's just like a secretary who gives them the lowdown on this Kesperi guy.
Rob.
And I think that guy was this is a different slobby guy now with Colin Farrell. They investigate the house. They find the girl at Kesperi's house in the milk bath and sex toys everywhere.
What was up with that? It was real off-putting, that whole place was.
Escher paintings of impossible sex angles. The place wasn't really trashed, but it's in just total disarray.
Well, it was a little trashed. You could tell somebody would come in and like, knock stuff off the walls and stuff, but even if it had been put up perfectly, it would have still just been, it was disgusting. It was porn and sex apparatuses everywhere.
So Colin Farrell thinks it's a kidnapping. His sloppy partner's name is Teague, and they call it in as kind of a kidnapping because this guy has more money than he should. He shouldn't have all this stuff. So jumping to the next scene, Osip meets this Russian guy. Osip meets with Vince Vaughn. He's the Russian guy, comes to meet Vince Vaughn. And he's come a long way. Vince Vaughn's come a long way since Swingers, Michelle. He's tougher. Tougher in... Mm-hmm. You don't like him? You don't like him like this?
No, I don't. Sorry, I really don't. And I'm hoping I'm able to get over it. Do you? You like him?
No, I don't like anything about this show.
Okay. I don't like
the reason
him at all.
I bring up Swingers is because Osip says he's known him since the 90s, which I guess Swingers was around that time. And Frank Simeon, Vince Vaughn's full name is Frank Simeon, and he meets with Osip's attorney, Michael Bugliari. Something like that. More drone highway shots, Michelle. Guess that. More highway overhead shots again.
Yep.
And they go to some weird avocado farm.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
An avocado farm.
I didn't know.
And it's the hot cop girl, Rachel McAdams. I like her. I like the way she is, and I like her look. That's the only thing I like in this show.
I don't like the way she is. She's pretty, but... she drives me crazy. She tries too hard, too, Mike.
I know.
Okay.
The whole show is miserable. You got to find a couple good things.
Okay.
So they search this house on the avocado farm, and this girl is missing. The sister of the girl in charge of the house, Vera, is missing.
Well, they're not even there to search the house. They're just there to issue a foreclosure. Now, does it work like that? Because... the girl in the house, she says to the police, she goes, "You would think you guys would have better things to do with your time than issue foreclosures for people who are doing the best they can." And I'm paraphrasing. But she goes, like, "Find my sister." And then Rachel McAdams just, like, takes all of her information and immediately starts in on this surge. Is that how that would work? Like, you go to issue a foreclosure to somebody and they say, "Well, what about this?" And you go, "Oh, okay, yeah, we'll go do that." That just didn't ring true.
They can't say, "Okay, we'll file this," and then they show, you know, file cabinets. And this is a TV show; they got to make it look a little bit more interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe Rachel McAdams has a problem with missing females, or you know, who knows? But
that didn't ring true, though. It just didn't ring accurate. But anyway.
So Vera worked at this place, and her sisters, her own sisters, in trouble. So she's worried about sisters and girls and.
Well, anyway, and the woman had brought up this institute, this whatever it was called, this really weird institute, which is where we find out her father works.
Yeah, the Pantacapam Institute, some groovy hippie institute.
Right.
With Panty as the first name. Pantacapam. Anyway, so Vince Vaughn jumps to tell his story. This is the next scene. Vince Vaughn talks to a group of celebrators at the party. This proposition has passed. And construction begins next year, Michelle, from Tennessee, on a $68 billion high-speed rail job. This is a true boondoggle in California, Michelle. There is a big high-speed rail project. that they're trying to start in the middle of the nowhere part of California to put like 2 miles of track down, so then they can say, well, we've already got $18 million in, we can't stop now. And it's supposed to be high-speed rail between L.A. and San Francisco. And it's like billions and billions of dollars. So it's like, this is like a true, real thing in California. Okay.
Well, they talk about railways even here, like between Chattanooga and Atlanta and stuff like that. And because that's where the bigger airport and stuff is. But they've talked about it for years and years. So I don't know if that's just a common, I don't know.
Well, they get federal money for it. So all these people, like Vince Vaughn, has bought property along the path of the railway in a holding company, and that's the property the rail will need, so they'll make money when they have to sell the property. And they talk about how the feds have guaranteed overage money, so they can probably overcharge for what it's worth. And so it's a big scam. So that's the money and the scam related to this. Vince Vaughn's holding company and his partners have access to be able to sell this land for this rail deal that's going
on. Okay. Okay, I didn't get all that. So that doesn't seem like that would even be legal. That seems
it's not illegal. It's like, I mean, it happened in Boardwalk Empire. He owned all that property that they were going to build housing or a highway or something on. And
I think it's different if you own property, you happen to own property, and if you hear something about something coming through that you know about, isn't that kind of almost like insider something?
It's speculation, but that's how the world works.
Okay, so this was just, it wasn't anything illegal that Vince Vaughn done. He just thought this was going to happen and bought up the property in hopes
plus
that
he's trying to make the thing happen. He's trying to make the bill go through where the, you know, he's pushing it along. He's not just sitting back hoping it happens. But yeah, it's criminal. It is, you know, gray area criminal.
Okay.
So anyway, Colin Farrell and the pretty cop Rachel McAdams visit the Pantepecam Institute and see the groovy guy who turns out to be her father.
Right.
Her father who knew Allen Ginsberg.
Right.
One
right.
Of the beat dudes. He's talking to the followers and in just this hippie language, recognize the world is meaningless and that God did not create a meaningless world. It's hard to watch. So the cute cop gets the clues about the missing girl from the coworkers, and they say she may be in Sonoma.
Right.
So, okay, so now more improbabilities here, Michelle. Not that I'm picking on the show or anything.
No, not at all.
Do you have any complaints you'd like to register before I do mine?
Well, there's so many, but no, it's your turn. Go ahead.
I might cover them, and you just say, uh-huh, I noted
okay.
that one too.
Yeah.
So, first of all, TV whiskey is not real whiskey. This is one of my complaints. Colin Farrell is drinking whiskey on the job like a kid drinking a Dr. Pepper.
Sure.
You cannot drink whiskey that much and walk, much less talk or drive a car or be able to act with any clarity or coordination. But this writer dude who's going to uncover the story about the bad cops is Dan Houser, and Colin Farrell's staking out this guy Dan Houser.
Right. He's drinking whiskey. Colin Farrell, he's definitely doing some stuff on the side. He's not, because he's a police officer too for this town, and then he's definitely doing this kind of.
Yeah.
That's not official police business. What
no,
he's doing.
No, roughing a guy up is not official police.
Right. Okay.
So he puts on his gloves and his face mask to go rogue and beats up the guy. And back at the Pantee Institute, the leader is talking to Rachel, his daughter, about the other girl, the missing girl. And the missing girl. Okay, so here's more. The missing girl's name is Athena, the goddess of love.
I thought Athena was the stage name of the sister.
So Vera.
So there's two girls, yeah.
Vera's the missing girl. Sorry, you're right. So Athena.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I didn't like. Athena is Antigone's sister, and Antigone is Rachel McAdams. So they have these two groovy, which I guess now that I say it out loud isn't too far-fetched because they have a groovy, hippy-dippy father that would name these two kids Athena and Antigone.
Yeah, but her name is, they call her Dina or Dinah, right? The sister?
I thought they call her Auntie.
Okay, maybe they are. Maybe I just heard it wrong.
That's short for Antigone.
Well, yeah, Annie is A-N-I is Rachel McAdams, but the sister, I thought they called her Dina, but I could have heard that wrong too. Yeah, that's, you're right. That is odd.
Well, I thought it was Athena. Dina is almost as bad.
No, I think Athena is the sister, is the sister's porn name, the goddess of love.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Anyway, the hippy dippy guy blames it all on the mother. Spilled big shock there. And how the totem, there's a big totem pole in the scene, how the totem poles watch over the dead mother. Or was she one of the, or was she in the totem pole as a dead mother being the watcher of them? Something there about that totem pole being, I think the mother is dead.
Yeah, the mother walked into the ocean or something, and he didn't want to stop her. He didn't want to impart his will on her. He doesn't impart his will on anybody or something. That's kind of how they made it sound anyway.
So
I think
this is
you're
all
right,
just more
way.
Negativity. This is more and more negativity. Men hate women. Women hate men. You know, clearly Antigone has this problem with men where she hates men. And now the husband hates the wife, blames everything on her, and she committed suicide because she hated her situation. It was just all too black, too dark.
And it was hard to understand, too. It was hard to follow. It was a lot of stuff. I do think you're right, though. I think the sister's name is Athena, and I wrote down, I heard Dina for some reason, but I think you're right with that.
All right, so if you weren't depressed yet, we get to see Colin be the father to this little chubby redheaded kid, Chad.
Okay, that was horrible.
This kid is at school. He has new tennis shoes, but he's not wearing them, and he finds out that the dad finds out that they got cut up by some other kid, and Chad doesn't want to talk about it. First of all, he's in front of Ray, the father, and some other dude who's the new man in the kid's life.
Richard, I think,
is the wife's, the mother's boyfriend or husband.
Right.
And Chad and Colin calls this kid a fat pussy. Tell me what happened, you fat little pussy. It's just horrible. This poor little kid, he's already berated and beaten down, and he's getting picked on by his father.
And it's so sad because he loves this kid. You can tell he's talking to an attorney and everything, wanting extra time with him, and he really loves the kid, but he's just so messed up, and he has such rage. It was that was hard to watch.
Yeah, he has this deal where he has a digital recorder, and he records into one, and the Chad kid can record into his, and they can compare notes.
Yeah.
When they have thoughts about each other. Very electronic, sterile way of keeping in touch with your son. But
because he only gets to see him every couple weeks. And so he wants to see him more so much that he's doing that kind of thing. So you feel sorry for him, but at the same time, what a destructive relationship.
So he finds out the name of the kid who cut up the shoes. This kid's name is Aspen. Mm-hmm. And he calls it in. He finds out where the kid and his family live. And immediately after he berates Chad and calls him a little fat pussy, he talks to his voice recorder and says, I'm sorry,
that was all my fault. And
wanting to be an astronaut and all this stupid stuff. It finds the family, though. Will Conroy is the father, and their family lives in Sherman Oaks. And so he's going to end up over there pretty soon. But that was another miserable scene.
Mm-hmm. Really bad.
So we get to see the other complaint about this is you get to see way more man's asses than women's naked body parts here. But we see kind of a scene in the cop locker room.
And, I hated that scene. Did you hate that scene?
Yeah, it just said too much man's asses.
Well, not just because of that. It was ridiculous. I hate it when they show stuff and it's not authentic. You got this girl, and she's like got her hair wet, so she's showered at work, and she's just like throwing all of her police apparatus weaponry on her person, and she just like halfway put together. But then when it pans to her, she has this full face makeup on. I mean, like she has went to
has gone. To,
has gone to the Mac counter or something and had this done. I mean, she's completely made up. And
well, it's pretty interesting the way her gear is knife, gun, mace, and then other knife. She has like two knives. One's in her belt, one's in her boot.
I mean, was it supposed to show that she is like tough? I don't know. I didn't like that at all. It was ridiculous.
All right. So next we see the Woodruff, the CHP officer, motorcycle cop officer. For some reason, he has bad skin. I don't know why yet. But he has a slutty girl back home and comes home and needs to take a shower. And she's like, oh, just have me. Take me right now, you big, strong man. But he needs to go into the shower to take his Viagra. So he needs like 15, 20 minutes for the Viagra to kick in. I didn't know Viagra took that long.
I don't know anything about it. Because he didn't come out for like half an hour.
That's why, though. That's why.
Yeah, I know.
Why not take the Viagra on the way home?
I don't know. Well, I mean, what if he took it and he came home and she... Well, because he went to her place, right? Because that's not even his place.
Right.
And I don't know.
But he's keeping it a secret from her. Like, I don't want her knowing that I need Viagra. But well, I guess it works. He seems pretty ready when he is ready and she's ready. So they have some kind of sex. All right. So next we jump to Vince Vaughn talking to Osip and other people about the whole rail deal and the holding companies. I guess the holding company for the holding companies is Catalyst. Called Catalyst.
Okay.
And Osip wants to meet the city manager, this missing Kasperi guy.
Right. And Vince Vaughn just wants Osip to commit to...
Right. We came here to close, not to think about it.
Right. What exactly is he doing? What's he... He's buying into something? Is that what
Osip... Yeah,
he
probably needs money from Osip to buy the properties to get everything lined up. And Osip's like, well, yeah, I'll think about it. And Vince says, we came here to make a deal and close on this deal. And Osip kind of stands back up to him and says, I'll close when I'm ready to close.
Yeah, well, he hasn't even got to meet Kasperi yet. And that's what he's kind of waiting on, it seems like, is to meet him.
He might have waited a little too long, Michelle.
Maybe a little bit.
All right, so Colin Farrell goes to the house of the kid who cut up his kid's shoes and beats him up in front of his son, Aspen, with a pair of brass knuckles and really messes him up, pounds him.
Yeah, he beats up the dad.
And he beats up the kid emotionally by the kid trying to get back inside. Like, you're going to run away from your dad? I thought you were a bully and you liked watching people get beat up. And just that was very gratuitous, this lesson that he teaches this kid.
It was really bad. It was hard to watch.
Okay, so next the burn-scarred cop, Paul, leaves the girl. He sleeps with her and leaves. And this is another thing that I didn't like, Michelle. He's on his motorcycle at night with no glasses, no shield, and he's going 100 miles an hour with wind in his eye. You cannot do that. You simply cannot do that.
I think he was trying to kill... It's funny, my husband was saying the same thing during that scene. He was like, no, that doesn't work like that. Of course, I mean, I don't know. But,
Well, stick your head out of your SUV when you're going 35 and just try it.
I think there that they were showing that Paul was going to try to kill himself, right? He's either an adrenaline junkie or he was trying to commit... Or he had... was thinking about committing suicide.
Maybe.
Right,
because he's doing all the right things to do it.
Right.
No helmet. In California, there's a helmet law. You got to wear a helmet. You're going to get pulled over in 5 seconds if you're driving a motorcycle without a helmet. And plus, he downshifts with his foot on the motorcycle. You shift up. When you're going faster and faster, you shift up to a higher gear. That was backwards. Anyway. Colin Farrell's in some bar. He's lamenting his ugly life and watching that dreary girl sing. If I had to watch another second of that girl sing, I was about to shoot my TV set.
Not only that, but now I can't get that song out of my mind. The song
I got it out of mine.
Wow, like I said, I watched this 3 times, and they said that one line, "This is my least favorite life," again and again and again, and it was just like it seared in me.
Well, Vince Vaughn is in there too, and together they're both sad and dark and ugly. And
Well, I didn't think Vince Vaughn was that ugly in this. He was talking about how he and his wife are gonna, they're trying for in vitro. He thinks Colin should get a, find a woman, and he can still have more children. And he goes on about all that kind of stuff.
He's, I thought he was trying to be uplifting. Into a cup.
He said he didn't want to do that for the in vitro, but price you gotta pay.
All right. Well, anyway, Colin Farrell has the reporter who he just beat up files on his laptop, and he gives it to Vince Vaughn.
Right.
And there's more whiskey. I guess we find out too. Colin Farrell's lawyer is Harris. To help him to custody, Harris has been kind of assigned to him by Vince Vaughn to help him with custody of the Chad kid.
Not really a sign, but that's who Vince Vaughn recommended. It was the woman, we met her at the beginning, that Vince Vaughn was, or that Colin Farrell was talking to, tell him about what happened. See, this isn't likely even Colin Farrell's kid, the redheaded kid. It's likely the kid of the person who beat up and raped his wife. Because they've been trying for a long time to have a baby, and then she was pregnant.
Oh, I missed that. That's good. Yeah, to know that.
And they never did a paternity test. The wife or Colin Farrell didn't want a paternity test done.
So next, Rachel McAdams is playing blackjack and drinking whiskey herself. I mean,
how
much darker can they get here? And this is where the motorcycle guy, Paul, is riding along at 100 miles an hour, and he slides to some fake dumb stop.
Well, he turns his light off.
Just
did
by some
him?
Coincidence where he stops the picnic table, and it's the Casperi guy.
Yeah, coincidentally, when he turns his light back on and he can't control the bike and he slides basically into the dead Casperi.
Yeah, Breakfast at Bernie's. He's sitting there like he's at a picnic table, but he's got his eyes pried out and he's dead. But at least he calls 911. He does the right thing.
Yeah.
So back at the bar, Colin Farrell's now so drunk, he's just like sleeping at the bar, and they just clean up around him.
Yep.
And then we see some jump cuts. So we jump cut to the blackjack cop, Bezarides is her name. What's her first name in the show? It's Rachel McAdams.
Annie.
Oh, Antigone, yeah. Antigone Bezarides. She leaves and she gets the call about Casperi. Then we jump cut back to Colin kind of waking up. He's getting the same call about Casperi and where the site is. And the site is in Point Magoo in Ventura County. Casperi's dead. He's been burned with acid. His eyes are missing. He's got a pelvic wound. He's been tortured.
Right.
If we didn't need any more darkness in the show. And Colin Farrell shows up. After all that whiskey, he drives up to Ventura County.
Which I know, he's passed out seconds ago in a bar.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know, Michelle. So they're all tortured souls. They're all over-tortured. The whole thing is so overcooked.
It was a lot. It was a lot to keep up with. I think in season one, episode one, it was real compelling, and it was very it slowly drew you in, and I just felt like I was getting pelted with information and, like you said, the darkness. And even the songs and stuff, that weird rendition of All the Gold in California, I mean, it was the very end song, all of it, it just felt, I hope it gets better. It just felt like they were trying so hard.
So who do we know so far? We know Colin Farrell is Ray Vaccaro. We know Vince Vaughn is Frank somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember his last name.
Kind
of a mob-connected guy named Frank. We know Benjamin Casperi's city manager's dead.
Frank Simeon.
Simeon. We know the blackjack girl, Antigone. And her sister Athena, and their father, whoever, the hippie guy at the Pentapicam place. We know the Ventura Sheriff. The Ventura Sheriff is there, and then Paul, the CHP guy, is the Viagra guy.
Right, and we know Osip.
And Osip the Russian. apparently none of them ever heard of the city of Vinci either, even though it's an L.A. suburb. Like, where the hell is that?
Oh, I know. Are they talking about, like, it's a little teeny tiny place or what?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
And also, the detective guy who's with Annie all the time, his name's Elvis. There was really a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah, Elenica or something. But it looks like Woodruff might know Ray. He might know Colin Farrell from somewhere. Because they gave each other a look. Like, oh yeah, you're the guy. I don't know what from. That's where it kind of ends. It just kind of ends there.
Well, evidently it's about all three of them. I didn't catch that. That's interesting, though, because when Colin Farrell was talking to the attorney at the very beginning of the show, and he says that he had done 8 years as, what did he say? He had spent 8 years as L.A. police. Isn't that what he was?
Yeah.
And he's like, I welcome judgment. So maybe it's something from there.
He was an L.A. sheriff for 8 years and then the Vinci Police Department.
Okay.
So somebody killed this Kasperi guy who we don't know yet, right? Because it's probably not the Russian if he's wanting to meet him. It's probably not Vince Vaughn.
It's not
Colin Farrell, and it's not any of those other cops. So there's probably somebody else that we don't even know yet that's going to be involved.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that there's definitely going to be somebody else.
Maybe it's Piper Kerman.
You never know.
All right, Michelle, that's about all I got on this. I don't know. Are you going to watch episode 2?
Of course.
You don't have to. It's not a law.
It's kind of a law.
Podcasts can be written off as losers.
It's just a mandate, not a law. I'm definitely, you know how I am, I'm definitely going to give it a chance. I'm hoping it gets easier. Like I said, each time I watched it, I caught more. Way too much information to watch once. I don't know how anybody that watched this once and just kind of went on with their life got anything out of it.
Yeah, it was very dense. It was very complicated and it was stylistic, so you could watch it and kind of go. If you watched it without the sound, it might even be better because it had some cool scenery in it.
Right.
Just trying to figure it out and unravel it, keep track of it was brutal.
It was.
And not slit your wrists while you're doing it.
It was rough.
That girl singing, oh my God. All right, Michelle, this is the West Coast Project for True Detective, West Coast Project podcast for True Detective, season 2. You can reach me at @scathingtweets on Twitter, and how about you?
At Michelle from TN.
All right, Michelle from TN. So till next week on True Detective Part 2, that's about all I got.
Okay, we'll try to like it more.
All right, see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.